Welcome to episode 59 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with our other host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Got my first in-game... Okay, I had one in-game Judgment game last week when my brother came over. First one, however, this week where I went to the game store.
Nice.
It's pretty pumped about that. Yeah. Played some Tomas Warband. I'm kind of excited about that. I mean, I played it before, but I haven't played it in a while, so.
So you got a little bit of a refresher, which was kind of a nice breath of fresh air for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing Vassal, right? So it's been pretty good, and we'll talk about how well that's been going.
Sure, makes sense.
So yeah, I mean, it was good to get in person. I got my new cards in the mail, so that was good. And then my LGS actually had cases for tarot size cards.
Nice.
Because he was mentioning, I guess, a lot of other. So the game store I go to is. I don't even think they do Magic. I think it is like he does minis and board games. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was saying that I guess a bunch of different games use the tarot size cards now. I think
makes
he said
sense.
Like MCP. I think Game of Thrones does it.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, yeah, he has a box of those cases. I'm like, well, that's really nice because I want to get away from using the app. I want to start using the cards.
Right. So. No, it makes sense. I'm actually going to be. Myself, Coonerbuss, and Watts are all going to be doing an order for the cards here together.
Oh, like save on the Friday. Shipping?
Yeah, save on the shipping. didn't make sense to do them as separate orders, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked the format of them. I think this is going to be fantastic to see them in my hands, get them in play. And then we actually ordered some wound counters and stuff, some of the dials.
Yeah, so I went with the
D10 thing.
With the D10 thing, and it felt a little pricey for what they are, because it was the one that we've been kicking around on Discord.
Yeah.
Is the Etsy shop or whatever it was. I think it was like $30 for six of them, which is I guess $5 a piece. But I mean. There's also you can 3D print them if you have access to a 3D printer, and like I've got a couple of people I know that have them, but depending on what they're printing and fitting in what I want printed and whatnot, so but yeah, the wound counters worked fantastic.
Good.
Used a used that, then used it's a wet erase marker, it wasn't a dry erase marker, which I didn't realize when I bought it, but makes a little bit more of a mess.
Yeah,
but. And then I use that for just like my levels, basically. Like I'll just write on the card what level the guy was, and then I was using the artifact cards.
Sure.
So yeah, it's pretty good to kind of play without the app a bit, because I think they were trying to move away from the app at least a little bit.
Sure.
I
know like what we ordered was the wound trackers, so they go they're the like tens and ones that you can spin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We ordered because we found it was like $21 for a set of 10 of them.
Okay.
So it was like, cool.
Wait, that's really cheap.
Yeah.
For
I was 10 like
10 of them.
Yeah. For 10 of them.
Wow.
So I was like, cool. That's two warbands done in one swing of the order. Right.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Well, and so what I'm going to do as well is, since there's three of us that are getting them. I was like, cool, I'll take the other five and I'll pay for that extra set of, or that extra set of 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll use those as partial for when we get our meta up here running.
Yeah.
Now we have prize support to help with that. It's like, here's some wound, counters, things like that. But yeah, so we got those coming. We've done all the tarot card stuff. Got that getting ready to rock and roll, which is fantastic. Because like you said, we're moving away from the app. And that way, at least the wound counters are nice and easy to be like, cool, what health are you on? I'm on this. And it's not like if a table gets bumped, a die moves or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, too. Yeah, but with the little holders, like it's very difficult to bump a die in those. So
yeah, and for me, I just don't want the extra dice and stuff to have to track, which is why I was like, no, I'm doing it this way.
Yeah, the I mean, the big thing with the D10 is like my opponent, I asked him and he's like, it's very easy to see it across the table and see what stuff's at, which depending on what the wound counters are, that might not be as easy. But the D10 thing that my opponents are like, it was very easy to see across the table exactly what everything was at. So
that's fair. I just don't want the extra hassle, especially with as far as I travel. So I'm like, meh. And if I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little bit of a butt here, but if you have a problem asking me what my models are at for health-wise, that's your problem. I'll gladly tell you.
Yeah, there's been some interesting discussion on that, going back and forth a little bit, but...
So, no, I get it. It's there's the thought of, right, if I'm asking you what health everybody's at, oh, I might be choreographing a plan of attack to you, and...
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a chess brain. I've probably already thought about most of it anyway.
Yeah.
You're not really doing anything I haven't thought of. So at least that's my thought on it. So,
yeah.
But anyway, we've got a really exciting episode for you guys tonight because obviously that's Judgment, folks. Just League just recently finished up, I believe, or we're waiting on the last few games at this point. And
yeah, there's two games left to play.
Two games left, okay. And we had to face each other in this most recent round, so we're gonna definitely talk about that game. And we had a very interesting game.
Yeah.
So let's dig into the start of our normal parts of the episodes, which is Hobby Corner. All right, Wonky. Any new hobby projects? Gotten any new models built since we last talked?
I do not.
Okay.
But I did get a line on getting some MDF cut for 2D terrain. So okay. I got a follow up with the person, but I should have roughly 8 tables worth of 2D terrain coming my way.
Okay.
So it's basically just going to be the cut MDF. So right. I will have to
label it all or.
Yeah, so I've got some options. One of my locals, he made some 2D terrain, just saw like Plasticard, and he printed some stuff on it that had some pretty decent graphics. Okay. So I might, and he actually made teleporters, which were used tonight, which was pretty good. So I might copy what he was doing a bit and then just kind of print it out on just normal computer paper, paste it on them. My other option is I might just paint them a solid color to make them the color match what they are on like Vassal. So just paint one side plus the like the edges green for any forest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I think the clouds were blue, I think.
Okay.
Whatever they are in Vassal, right?
Yeah.
And then like the cloud being gray, Treacherous being yellow or orange.
Sure.
You know, walls being gray. I don't know. So I don't have those in hand yet,
right?
To make a determination. But even if I do put artwork on top, which probably will be done, I might still paint the edges, the Vassal colors.
Makes sense. I think then you know exactly what it is when you look at it.
That's kind of my thought. So I should have that somewhat soonish, and I'll have to work on that. I still have some models to build. I've been slacking on, but partly. Partly because, you know, Lori Bella, I have a V1, one that's painted.
Right.
I should probably get the Terra, but I would have 3 Terras built then, so that's also... But I probably should build Yorgoth, even though I've got a proxy for him, now that I have the actual Yorgoth model.
I'm sorry, hold on. Did you just say you would have 3 Terras and that's an issue for you?
Yeah, so I've got I've got a V1 Terra that's painted.
Sure.
I have the... We got that...
The one from Warfare.
Prototype one at Warfare Weekend 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And then I got another unbuilt one at this Warfare Weekend. So I would have 3 Terras.
I'm still waiting to hear the problem. That just means you can support 3 Tier 4 monster pits.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Gendrys. So correct. That's also a thing. So, yeah, I probably should get on building some stuff. I'm staring at them right now. They are sitting on my desk. And I mean, it looks like they go together pretty quick. So, you know,
Don't worry, I'll be honest. You're not the only one that's staring at them. I have Lori on my desk still. I have Yorgoth sitting here, and Styx still. So.
Yeah, I mean, Yorgoth looks like he's a handful of parts looking at the bag. You got to put some horns on, and Lori Bell looks like two parts
looking at the bag. I'll be like, honest.
She looks real quick.
Yeah, the one I'm still dreading building because I haven't taken her out of the bag yet is Isabel.
The Squire one?
No, the other one.
Oh, the winged one?
The winged one. And that's just because I haven't taken her out of the bag and really like tried to start piecing her together. So yeah. I know once I decide to do it, I'll just do it. But I'm just looking at her and I'm like, no. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. So, yeah, so I've got that stuff I'm staring at. I should probably do that one of these days. But the terrain thing I'm pretty excited for. Because, man, I won't lie. I like the 3D terrain, but after lugging this, like, I've got that a bin that's probably like a table and a half worth of 3D terrain at Warfare Weekend because I got that ship back to me.
Good.
But like lugging that up for a game night just kind of sucks. Because I've got everything in my bag. You have the like a map bag to take with you, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, now I need this other bin, and like my bag's like got backpack straps, so like it's pretty mobile. So I'm like, oh, I'm pretty mobile here. And then all of a sudden I got this like heavy ass bin of resin. That's I don't know. Like I really do like the 3D terrain. I think it looks good. But man, 2D portability is just it's where it's at, man.
I'm the type of guy that is all about it as well, and I get it. My honest thought is, we got an update in the general chat. Sorry. I got lots there. Anyway. The terrain itself, like having one set of 3D terrain to be able to do that for like final table stuff, I think that's fantastic. But when you're talking about supplying a whole, you know, tournament full of terrain, that's a lot of 3D terrain to ask either somebody to print, ask somebody to buy to print, any of that stuff, right? And last time I checked, I'm still. You know, I'm out of college at this point, and I'm a gentleman, but I'm still broke ass as it comes, right? And obviously, you've got a family going and stuff like that, so obviously you're not going to have the ability to do that as well, or maybe you do, I don't know. Yeah. But most of us as tournament organizers wouldn't have the ability to just go, cool, hey, 3D print us 8 tables worth of terrain.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sizable amount of resin.
Yeah.
Because I had a local who backed the Kickstarter, and I gotta try and put some pressure on those guys to come back to play a little bit. But yeah, he printed me a set, and it was quite a sizable amount of resin for it. And you might be able to do, is it FDM is the other one, I think.
Right.
But I think FDM, you don't get necessarily the quality as some resin printers. I'm not super into 3D printing, so.
Right.
But yeah, it's like creating a whole table of resin terrain. Like it's not cheap unless you have your own 3D printer, which, you know, obviously those are not necessarily cheap either.
Yeah. I mean,
depending on what you do with them. So,
yeah. So,
yeah, I'm kind of hoping that there'll be some sort of more official route for 2D terrain, at some point.
Yep.
But until that, I mean, or not, if okay, maybe not official, but even like an unofficial,
yeah, just source, something
right?
To help out.
It doesn't
out.
Have to be from Creature Caster, right? But there are lots of, you know, companies out there that do gaming aids or whatever you want to call them that it wouldn't be surprising. Hopefully, if one of them would pick it up, we'll see.
Yeah.
I might try and schmooze some people when I'm at Adepticon if I see a couple of companies that are doing some of that kind of stuff because.
Yeah,
I think there could be some market for it because 2D terrain is just logistically way easier.
Logistically easier to use. That's really what it comes down to. So, all right. Well, it's good to hear an update on the 2D terrain stuff. That's I know that was something you were excited to pursue before. So,
yeah, it just I don't know the simplicity and stuff for wanting to run events is because the cost. Was not insane to get 8 tables of it done, which is
you'll have to message me what the cost was.
Granted, it was literally just the cut MDF. Like there's
Just there's nothing on it. It's just nothing on it. Yeah.
So it's there's some work involved after the fact, but
yeah. But I mean, you'll have to message me how much that cost because I may have to look into that as well. But anyway, so, well, yeah, and so that's cool. That's on your table. For my table this week on Hobby Corner, I actually broke Maltique out. Have started painting her now.
Okay. Did you already have her assembled? Because that was a bit of I assembled mine.
So no, Coonerbus was nice enough to help me by getting her started.
Okay.
He built like her front legs onto her base, did her first two big legs, but then left the rest of them off so I could focus on being able to paint the back of her chair and everything properly.
Okay.
So she's something that's currently in the game plan. I've started working on her. She's starting to look. I've got a very basic dry brush on her this week. While I have gotten in touch with a couple of my local painter buddies
mm-hmm.
to start working on and discussing the color theme that I want to do for Fazeel.
Okay.
Because while I trust my eye for the most part, I have a very specific scheme I would like to do with him. And I want to get a hold of some of them and be like, hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but in the meantime, I primed a lug drug as well, because I'm going to start just dilly-dallying on the orcs a little bit, I think, and seeing how they come along.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, well, and then, of course, I actually sent some stuff off to a painter myself this week.
Ooh, what'd you send off?
So I primed up my one lug drug. I have a second one, because I bought the originals. So I sent him Lug Drug, Zonia, Cruel, Barnascus, and then Kogan, and Draugoth.
Okay. That's pretty good sounding Bruellen Warband.
That is, I'm having him do those so I don't have to worry about a threes Warband.
Okay.
Because I already painted up my Thorgar, so Thorgar slots in to that list if I want. But like he and I have been talking already about what I want done. And I was like, look, for most of these models, I don't have anything in particular. But like, I was like, Draugoth, I've already done in a red. Don't do him in a red.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, what about Barney? And I was like, well, Barney, I've done one in military armor colors. So like a normal, an old tank.
Yeah.
Don't do him in that. In fact, I'd love to see him in kind of like a hot rod scheme.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, and so he is immediately like, oh, I got something. Do you have a favorite color? I was like, purple. And he's like, cool, I got an idea. And I was like, okay, let's see what you got. So he's going to start working on those in like the next week or so. And so that should be exciting to see.
Okay.
These are my first sets of models that I've like done this with.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. I think that's a good update on both of our hobby corners. Obviously, it's been pretty exciting to see that we're both getting back into some working of stuff. So let's break into the next section of the night, which is Judgment News. All right, Wonky, let's talk about the events here. We know that Captain Con is coming.
Yeah, so we got Captain Con coming up next weekend at this point. So February 2nd through the 4th, Warwick, Rhode Island. They are doing a threes event on Friday the 2nd. No idea on capacity or anything. It sounds from the Discord like there'll be quite a few people there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doing some other casual games and stuff as well, but there is no formal fives event.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be pickup games there.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about Captain Con a bunch, so we'll probably breeze through that one.
So
anything to add on Captain Con?
I think the only thing to add is if you are attending and you're looking at the threes event, I do believe that it is a threes blind pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it might be new player friendly.
Yeah, I think it's new player friendly. Threes blind pick. So that's helpful. And for anybody who doesn't know what that means that you literally show up with your three models and that's what you play with. Your opponent doesn't get to pick or ban anything. It's show up and play.
Yeah.
Which a blind pick event is very new player friendly because you can show up with some really dirty things.
Yeah. Yeah. Threes is kind of wild at times. Yeah. Blind pick, you just get to play whatever three things you want, which, I mean, it does help, especially newer players. Like, okay, yeah. Just bring the three models. You don't got to worry about the picking and banning and,
yep.
And all that kind of yep. stuff. And while more, you know, strong combinations can hit the table, they can for you as well, right? I guess.
Correct.
And it just, removing the veto kind of helps.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no like power level of, oh, this is going to be way more powerful than it's, you both get to bring whatever the hell you want and you both just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. So then let's talk about the next big con event, which is coming in March, which I know we are both super excited for, which is Adepticon.
Correct.
So Adepticon is happening March 20th through the 24th. It is happening in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And Wonky, let's talk about the events.
Yeah, so we got two events for Judgment. We have a threes on Friday. I believe it's Friday.
Uh-huh. It is.
And a sanity check something. Okay. We've got a threes event on Friday, 9 a.m. start time. It's 24 seats. We have completely sold out. There is a request to get additional seats. But I believe Tirith was looking into that, said that there is some sort of like timeline or something. I think February 1st is what, we were given, that could very well change. We could also not get additional seats. And then there is a fives on Saturday starting at 8 a.m. and that also sold out, with 32 seats. So, I'm pretty pumped about it that we sold stuff out. I think both events were sold out in under an hour.
Dude, I am beyond excited that for the second year that we've seen Judgment at Adepticon, like for version 2, yeah. right?
Yep.
That literally the first year we had what, 16?
Yeah, so last year, back in V1 we had like a 24 or 26 person event.
Right. But
way
I mean,
back in V1.
Last year with V2 launching basically at Adepticon with the core box and stuff, we had what in threes, what in fives? Do you remember roughly?
We had 16 to 18 in threes. Mm-hmm. And then I was like 22.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
So, I mean, as long as we're kind of close, we're not worried about.
Yeah, super, it was like 20 or 22. I don't have the.
Okay. So the fact that we went from 16 to 18 to 24 sold out with a wait list for threes, and then we went from like 20, 22 ish, maybe 24 to 32 sold out with a wait list again for the fives event. Like, to me, that is insanely cool as a guy who has been here from, you know, I'm not going to say from the very start because I wasn't here at the very original Kickstarter or anything, but I started in V1 and have been here since the start of V2. This is a freaking fantastically cool thing for me. And I feel just excited and awesome to be a hype man to be like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's I'm pretty pumped about it. We sold out both events really, really fast, which was nice. I think people, and I know there's a handful of people. I mean, I don't know what the wait list is looking like, but it's clear that there is demand for it. Now, granted, Adepticon is a very large con.
Yeah.
But this makes me pretty hopeful for stuff in the future.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about Adepticon, so we won't beat it at a horse with it. Yep. Big thing, though, is reminder, painting is required. You need to have your warbands painted to play.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to require effigies to be painted to be used. And the other thing along with that is if you have monsters, it would be appreciated if you can bring them. And monsters won't have to be painted because I think technically terrain doesn't have to be painted. And we're going to assume we're going to go along that line. So the packet's been published along with the Longshanks link. I've got something kind of cooking as well I need to test out before I make an announcement about it. But
the Longshanks link is up and active?
Longshanks link is up and active. So if you are actually already in the event and have a ticket, please join the Longshanks.
Okay.
I will also state this because I've heard rumblings. If you cannot make it, please make sure you refund the event. I don't know how refunds work for Adepticon. I don't know how the waitlist stuff works. But if you know you can't make it, please make sure you refund the event, because I really don't want to be scrambling to be screwing around with that at, you know, 8 a.m. in the morning trying to run an event. I would really, really appreciate it. So if you listen and you were originally going to go and can't, please refund the event ticket. Get your money back as well.
Yes.
They do, there is a cost there. But yeah, packets out there. If you can't find the packet, I know it's been posted a couple times. I think I might have pinned it in the conventions channel. Ping me on the Discord. I will send it to you. It's also linked in the, I think, Longshanks. It's linked in the event. I think there's like an additional info link, and I think the packet is linked there.
Okay.
You can find the packet. So I know we've talked about Adepticon the last couple, so we should probably
stop
being that dead horse. But it is the big event coming. We got to keep talking about it.
Yeah. You know, it's a good thing to mention, right? But I think it's a very important thing to keep mentioning because it is the big one. Adepticon's going to be the normal start of the kickoff season. Yeah. And like you said, I think the biggest part of it is to remind people again, if you are going, make sure your models are painted or get them to your painter to get them back, because this is a busy time of year for painters for this event. So
probably because Adepticon in general.
Correct.
Everything's got to be painted for Adepticon. Correct. So, but again, monsters and I believe effigies won't be, because I think you can quote unquote consider them terrain. So
makes sense.
That will be something we'll probably be lenient on, because that I don't think they would get too bad about. So
sure, that makes sense. And then
Fabius, what's up next?
I was gonna say, man, as we were talking earlier in the hobby corner, right? I got distracted because obviously the Judgment channel is still blowing up with some cool stuff. But recently we saw posts an announcement that Victor, Algorath, and Dorgacon are coming. And now we just saw a drop in the actual channel of some of the sculpts, like actual models done.
Didn't we see some of those before? And we're seeing different angles, or am I missing?
No, we didn't see sculpts. What we saw was, like, they did Dorg's head in one, they did the hex token, but then the rest of it before was all just his artwork or 3D rendering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were the renders from him from the front and things like that. So now we're actually seeing the actual model, and we're seeing them from the back and things like that. But it's still exciting to me because we get to see the back of his model, what that's going to kind of look like, the back of Dorg, so we can kind of figure that out, the back of Algorath, so you kind of know what's going on there. And I got to say this, man, the Algorath of old, like, I loved his derpy ass. He was such
I don't think the Algorath was that derpy.
Like, to me,
he was. The Dorg was derpy.
Okay? The Dorg was definitely, like, the Dorg made me think of a, like,
creature from the Black Lagoon.
Creature from the Black Lagoon slash Murloc.
That's what, like, the head
slash Murloc.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
the original Algorath, when I say derpy, I mean, like, mine's a little derpy because the face I tried to paint on him, I sucked at faces at the time. So mine turned out a little derpy. The overall sculpt was gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't think Algorath was that derpy. I think Dorg was definitely, I mean, I like the old Dorg, but I know a lot of people didn't like that model.
I think it's fantastic still.
Yeah, and Victor is Victor. I mean, he's a little halfling. I think the
new sculpt, he's definitely shorter.
So he's definitely shorter. But, like, someone pointed out to me, because they put the two Victors side by side.
Okay.
And, like, there is, I don't know, it makes it look a little funky.
Oh, I can see that. I mean, I'll be honest, I first saw his front-facing render, right?
Yeah.
My first initial thought with him, like, standing the way he is I thought John Rhys Davies from Lord of the Rings playing Gimli.
Yeah.
How do you walk around on this? Well, we'll put feet on the front of your knees and you just walk on your knees.
Yeah, that's the thing that someone was talking to me about. Is like, it looks, they're like, you look at it and they're like, the proportions look a little
weird,
like off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they don't seem that bad. And then, like, I mean, I guess because the old V1 version was like a human that was just shorter.
Yeah.
For like,
whereas some, this time he's a halfling.
Yeah, which is, he was supposed to be in V1 as well, but like,
yeah,
the proportions were definitely more like, okay, he's a human that's shorter, mm-hmm. is basically what the like V1 was.
Yep.
And obviously like V2, yeah. So I don't know.
He's traded the hammer for a blade, it looks like.
It, yes. So yeah, but that's like cool. I like that they kept the cat on the books.
Yes, that was adorable.
And like they kept the base the same. I like that. And like, yeah, I think the face looks very similar. It looks close, but it is, the proportions are a little bit different. But again, it's how they, you know, how they do, you know, was it a gnome or a halfling? I forget what's actually.
I think it's halfling.
But yeah, it's exciting to see Victor come out.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that we're getting, because it gives us two more monsters.
Yes.
So Elgarath is a tier 1 monster that, I haven't seen that they've published any
of his rules other than we know he has taunt.
Yeah. So Elgarath, as a monster, actually, I think we saw this earlier. Anyways, Elgarath's a monster. He's a tier 1 monster.
Yeah.
He like, so it's good to have another tier 1 monster.
Yep. And is
Dorg
tier 3 still?
He was not tier 3. He was not on the same boat as tier 3 in V1. So
okay,
well, but we had different kind of spawning mechanics in V1. Was he in the open beta?
Not.
It all blends together. So
yeah, I don't think he was. So
okay, Dorg is Dorg. So
okay, so we just don't know yet. Got it. Okay,
we don't know yet. Yeah,
no, that's perfectly fine.
So Elgarath, from V1. Mm-hmm. Could taunt people and was not the most melee beater.
Yep.
And then Dorg was the other summon you could do, and in V1, he hit like a Mack truck. He got bonus melee and bonus damage if you had souls on you. Yeah, he hit really hard.
Yeah.
I am on the fence about the Dorg model, the new one.
So, I'll be honest with you, with the way that Creature Caster is designing a lot of the demon models, where they're supposed to be like this shadowy mist, you know, darkness thing.
Yeah.
That's coming together. The Dorg model, initially, when I looked at it, like, my first reaction was, wait, that's Dorg? Okay. But as I started, like, looking over the model from an aesthetic side of things and just being like, okay, let me really look at this model, right? Overall, I've actually come to really kind of like it, and mm-hmm. I like the facet that they actually have him like in action of being summoned and like forming an arm. As weird as I know, everybody's like, "What are these tentacles?" It's like that's mist forming into the arm.
Yeah, it can be. So I think I need to see it in person.
Of course,
and that might help, but it doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't immediately seem that way to me when I look at the model.
Sure.
But obviously, like, with the paint job on it, you can do some stuff with the colors to kind of
show that I
think that might help a bit.
It looks like there's, like, little, like, if you look at the render, it looks like there's, like, little pockmarks in it on them, which is why people, I could easily see considering those tentacles.
Yeah, it definitely looks tentacly,
yeah,
which, yeah,
so I have no issues with that, but I definitely agree with you. I want to see the model in person, but I personally am looking at it going, okay, I'm not opposed to this. I like it. I think it's a decent one. And worst case scenario, you don't like it, cut an arm off somewhere else and put it on him.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously always an option. So right. Yeah, so it does give us two more monsters. I was never a huge Victor fan in V1. just wasn't one I was a big fan of. Like, he just didn't fit into warbands I would play, and he wasn't a Minotaur.
I was going to say, he's not a Minotaur. He's not a dwarf. It makes sense that you don't like him. You have things against short people. We get it.
No. Yeah. I mean, I play dwarves. They're pretty short.
No,
yeah.
I know.
And, like, yeah, and he was strong. I think Dorg was really, really strong in V1.
Very much so.
To the point where it got unallowed in threes.
Yep.
Which, I don't... It's actually an interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with him releasing.
Cause... Yeah, correct, because we have not seen the full rules yet.
No, we have not. But the new Algorath model, I honestly will say this. While I liked the old one, I think it was... like I said, a gorgeous sculpt. My painting did not do it justice for sure. But the new one, I gotta admit, I love this model. Like, I love the vampire look to it in a way, you know, the vampire demon-y look to it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he's carrying a head.
Yeah, I did like the I did like the head that he's holding in the render. That I did enjoy.
To me, I looked at this model and I was like, okay. When I think about a warlock that is summoning a demon that you're going to, like, see it go into the fray and do stuff, like, this is the type of model I think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is definitely my thing. So, well, what else did we see tonight besides those? Because there's another
So we saw the rules for... banishment, which is a rule that he has where he can basically remove a warlock familiar, enemy demon, where you target a warlock familiar, enemy demon hero, or demon monster within 3 hexes. Warlock familiars or demon monsters are banished to the abyss and removed from the battlefield. So you can actually use this to just remove like an Algorath or Dogorakan monster.
Mm-hmm.
But this rule started because you needed a way to remove your own summon if you needed to. Because in V1 you would take damage when your summons would die.
Makes sense.
So you could, if your summon was low, you could banish them, and then obviously you would also Dorg in V1 would he would take one of your action points, kind of like when Gendra summons Terra.
Makes sense.
So if you had a low one or he wasn't where you needed him or whatever, you could use this to remove him.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed is you can target demon heroes,
mm-hmm.
but it obviously doesn't remove them from the battlefield.
I mean, that would be funny as hell, personally.
I mean, yeah, never. You just never play Tomas again. Or Krognar can usually run a couple too. But if you target an enemy demon hero, it takes D3 damage and gets stunned. Okay. So that's kind of a fun thing. And it calls out that no bounties or levels are gained, so you can't blow up a, you know, a Dorg and get value from it.
So
we got that going, and
there's one other change that we've seen right on that card there.
We see the gods. So gods are Tomas and Krognar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're very excited about that.
Oh, you're damn right I am, man. I am so happy to see him in Tomas. Like, you and I have been playing Tomas for so long, right? And we've talked about the magic slot in Tomas. We've talked about, like, having a ranged person in Tomas. And it's always been, like, I've looked at, okay, do I fit Abathos here? Or do I fit this model or this? And I'm actually very happy to see Victor coming back and be in Tomas because of the fact I'm sure he's probably going to have Curse again or something like he used to. We've seen the Hex token, so we know that's definitely a thing that's being at least contemplated. So I'm just excited to see him come back and see what he's going to be able to add to Tomas as a whole, which is exciting for me.
Yeah, I mean... Tomas, I think, kind of fits. He kind of fits the theme of, like, the demons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's cool. And he was Krognar, so Krognar, you know, shadowy evil.
Yeah.
Kind of fits. So.
Oh my God, him repositioning to be able to just be like, and boom, and boom, and yes. So, all right.
Yeah. Yep. So definitely an interesting. interesting yeah. hero. I think he'll open up some stuff too.
Yep.
And I know he I think he's pretty popular. There's a lot of people I think that are V1 vets that I think I feel like are looking forward to Victor. So mm-hmm. I think
yep.
I think that will be big.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. So.
He's not what I'm excited for. I mean, we've already got a couple like rules that we've seen for ones we know that are coming soon, like that I'm excited for. So,
well, yeah,
you know, yeah. Give me Sharn and give me Svetlana. Let's go.
Oh man, I feel like you just did your boy dirty.
I don't know. I'm still a little down on two action stuff, but Zaffin is also.
I was just like, come on, man. Yeah. You can't do your dwarf dirty like that. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I'm excited for him too, but the two action shooting can, from a gameplay perspective, is not always great. So, that's Victor. I don't think he's coming in February, which we're almost to, so I'm assuming we'll get a full release of that
sometime in the very near future. I may have to re-envision my Tomas Warband. That's what we've gotten in the latest news. And like I said, that one actually just hit tonight when we're recording. So that was actually a really kind of fantastic thing to see
pretty
right
much
here.
Right as we were pressing record.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that. That's some fun news to talk about instead of something that's past or, you know, super upcoming. It's here it is, right this second.
Yeah.
But Walkie, I think it's time that we enter the dojo. All right, Walkie, let's talk about That's Judgment, folks, part 22. And let's talk about this in the form that the final week is basically done. We're just waiting on a couple games.
Yeah, two games left that won't. I don't think they'll majorly impact standings.
Okay.
At this point.
So let's talk about this. This was something I know that when you and I set out and we started playing this league, I know for a fact I did not expect my list to work as well as it did.
Okay.
We're going to get into this, obviously, but it was a very, very cool blessing for me to see that this list worked as well as it did.
Okay.
Now, I will say, obviously, I had two newer players that I did face early on. But it was still one of those, like, that was good playtesting for me to pilot the list and really learn some of the ins and outs of it, right?
Yeah.
And I know I probably played like four games a week for the first few weeks to like really take this list to the max ringer.
Yeah.
To try and test it out. How about you?
So this list I played a very similar version of it even back, I think it actually at Warfare Weekend. I wasn't playing in the events, but in the casual games I was playing against like Kunrabus at night. I think I was playing a pretty close version to this.
Okay.
I think the Thorgar might have been something else. Okay. Maybe. I don't remember. But so my Warband, I knew it had some legs. I think Ista is really strong right now.
Sure.
Probably in the top half of gods, I would put it.
Sure.
And it's a bunch of stuff I like to play. And it worked essentially how I thought it would, which is reassuring. We did have some newer players, but it's not to take anything away from them. People, they've been getting a lot of games in because, you know, we've had the influx from the Kansas City crew, which has been quite a handful of players. And I think they had a couple that did pretty well in this league. Mm-hmm. So we'll obviously there'll be, I'm assuming they're all sticking with it.
I would hope so. I mean,
So we'll be seeing them a bunch more.
Yeah.
And so we'll start with our finals game because You know, since last podcast, it was me and Fabius on the finals table.
Yeah, so we actually had a The Summoned finals table? What?
Yeah, which we totally missed. We should have streamed. I should have streamed it or recorded it.
We both missed that one. So I do apologize to everybody. Obviously, Wonky apologized to everybody that we did not get a chance to record the game. It was not something that we both thought about because we were on a time frame.
Well, and I'll preface this. We also started kind of early in the morning when we played our game too. So
yeah,
I think that maybe part of that was because I know like I wasn't really rushing, but I was trying to make sure we could get it started on time so we get it, you know, done before you started work.
Yeah.
So I think that was maybe impacted it a little bit, but probably should have just because it would have been.
We definitely should have. So guys,
not terrible content.
In the future, we will definitely make sure we do that. And we do apologize for you missing out on this one and not being able to go back and watch it. Because this was a hell of a game.
It was one of the better games I think I have played in a while. In, like, close game. And, you know, not to blow too much smoke up my co-host's ass, but it was a very... it was fantastic. I think we both had some good strategy to it. I still find it wild that we never killed a hero.
Like to me, that is insane. Cause I mean, we played a game and we played it solid for what? An hour and a half to roughly 2 hours.
Yeah. I think we were over 2 hours by the time it ended. So okay. Like,
yeah. So we were right sitting about the two, maybe 2.5 hours, which is a little bit longer than we would obviously like, but that's how in depth of a game it was neither one of us lost a hero in 2 to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it still came down to pretty much a wire.
Yeah. It got to a point where, it was like, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And that was going to be the game.
Yeah.
So, which we'll get to. So
yeah, we're going to get to right now. So,
okay. Let's talk about it. Fabius, what was your warband, just for a refresher here?
So, the finals match was me playing Krognar. And this warband came out of a warband dojo idea from Robbie, that I worked on. So it was Rakir, Nias, Maltik, Styx, and Abathus, all in God.
Yeah.
And then Fazeel and Marcus out of God. Okay. And then what about you?
So I was playing Ista, so I've been on a bit of an Ista kick.
We understand, better Gruul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's different. I think the thing is it still plays a more defensive style, which I like to play. I like to make it difficult on my opponent to get kills. And Ist is very good at that.
Yes.
And I think it does some of that a bit better than Gruul.
Sure. I can see that.
I've been playing Dolnragar, Thrommel, Brock, Isabel, Astariel, and Thorgar. The idea behind the list is basically Barnaskis, he is in that list as well. I think I mistyped it when I was doing this before. So the big thing here is no Lori Bella, which I'm a little... I didn't hate not having her because she can be very fate hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And Barney felt like he did some pretty good work in a couple of my games.
Sure.
Where I had him. I know one game... round three, he got to like just hang out like on the hang out on the middle shrine.
Oh yeah,
and it was like aiming and just shooting people.
I was gonna say, I think I watched that game and I was just like, oh yeah. Damn.
Yeah, Barney's like, because I was putting pressure on other places, and Barney's like, I'm just gonna sit here, I'm gonna aim, and I'm just gonna. And I was playing against, I believe, Gruul. I think that was against Bad Ryan.
Yeah,
fantastic person to play against, but. Yeah, it like we were kind of like going back and forth, and then he brought his like Zyvera over, and I was just like, all right, like, okay, I'm just gonna aim and try and shoot her and put her on fire. And like he kept critting, which I don't hate. But I'm like, I wanted fire, and it wasn't getting the fire, so it was kind of like a little weird. But yeah, he was just kind of like, all right, there's going to be this little like four hacks area where I'm just going to hang out, and I'm going to be blasting.
Yeah.
Granted, there's a lot better models to do that. Like obviously Kogan comes to mind.
Sure.
As a model that in that same spot could do it, but the big thing was is I don't think I leveled Barney in that game until the end. We're pretty close to it. And like I use him as a good backup soul gazer.
Yeah.
And his knockdown is pretty mm-hmm. relevant at times. But Lori would fit really well in that slot.
Yeah.
As well, because I just love Lori and grenading people is amazing. Sure. But yeah, and then Thorgar's there because Thorgar's Thorgar. He really likes healing. He's a Minotaur.
Yeah.
I don't think Ista has other really good melee damage. I'm trying to think that, like, in God. I mean, Nephanine's coming.
We know that. So,
and
I mean,
still don't know if I would prefer her in this warband, to be honest. I think I like the Thorgar a lot more.
I think the Thorgar to your warband brings one thing that your warband does slightly lack, which is just that big, consistent hit of damage, right? Because don't get me wrong, like you've got some good models that can do damage with like Istariel, Barney, Isabel, Brock, but Thorgar just brings that consistent, I'm going to thwack you three times for somewhere between 12 to 18 damage.
And Ista's one of those where if you kind of just smash into it, it can absorb that really well, right? Like,
yeah,
it has a lot of really good recovery tools with like Resto Potion. Isabel is holy Isabel can be like, I won't say game breaking, but like game altering. Like, she's
definitely game altering,
but she is very strong when you level her up. I think both of her level up paths are good. Yep. I mean, level 3 Retribution feels a little funky. But it's not. It doesn't take an action, which is probably where it had, like the value is.
Yeah.
But level 3 Holy is wild.
Level 3 Holy is really good. Like there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. So. All right.
But all right.
Fabius, so let's talk about this. So we rolled off, and I ended up, I think I chose second, you chose bottom, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so. We were playing on the map that I designed, which was fun. I mean, it's been tweaked a bit since the original version, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, the cool thing on this map is there is a Canuck Mara that starts on the map but doesn't respawn.
Yep.
Which is something I think is kind of cool that we're playing around with this one.
Yeah.
And then it does turn into a 3 soul pit map, so there is a soul pit underneath the Canuck Mara.
Mm-hmm.
It's got pretty, like, symmetrical. I mean, it's not super symmetrical, but it's not, like, really wild between top and bottom. So there is a little bit of picking. The big thing for me, I think, was bottom side had a Gloom.
Bottom side had a Gloom. Side,
top and your side top had side had Inferno.
It was Inferno. You're right. It was Inferno.
And I wanted to, so knowing I had Brock, I guess the thought process is I figured I would have Brock at this point.
Yep.
Is I wanted to set up for the Canuck Mara kill.
Sure.
Because it's a good level, it's 3 fate or some good items.
Yep.
And Brock killing a Canuck Mara is not the most difficult thing. And then with a Gloom, I could level basically whoever else up I wanted, which could have been a Thrommel. We could have got a little fun there, but decided to go with Isabel was kind of my rough thought, because your warband didn't, I mean, it had some good burst, but I had some ways to kind of mitigate it, like redirect is really good into Fazeel and Rakir to kind of take that charge attack or that initial condition out, so
it definitely can be.
I took bot side pretty much for the purposes of it's an easier monster kill. I don't think I had a big terrain on looking at it. I don't think there was a terrain difference that super mattered to me when I was looking at it. So,
and I don't think with either of our warbands the terrain difference as a whole really mattered.
Correct.
Which was kind of fun because then it was literally you chose it specifically for the easier monster kill.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind having the Inferno because obviously I had the tools to set up to really deal with him. So then
Marcus and the knockdown makes it a lot.
Marcus with the knockdown does, but so let's talk about it because you were going first. So who did you ban from my list?
So I banned Styx as fast as humanly bannable could be done. We played. Was it this war band or a similar one?
No, it was my Tomas one.
Was it Tomas? But it still had Styx in it.
Yeah.
And so it had a bunch of the same stuff, right? I'm pretty sure it had Fazeel. I think it had Abathos in it. It had Maltik in it. So it was very similar.
It didn't have Abathos, but it had some of the other...
It had Maltik. I'm pretty sure it had Fazeel.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure it was my Warfare Weekend warband, and we played some practice games with it. So
yeah. And I don't know. Styx is a very frustrating model to play against at times. He basically can, like, be very offensive when he needs to by repositioning your damage dealers.
Yep.
He can astral split and put your opponent's models in really goofy places, especially after they activate. Like, anytime your opponent has a Styx and they have Fate, like, you need to be...
Watching out.
Like the amount of brain cycles you need to put in. And then it's... So, and you've played Styx enough to see those, where, like, obviously someone that hasn't played Styx as much won't always see them.
Yeah.
And there's not as dangerous monsters on this map. It's not like some of the other maps where there's a lot more tier fours.
Right.
Where the Styx can be even stronger. But, I don't know. Styx is just really insane. And I thought my warband was tanky enough to put up with the Fazeel and the Rakir. I figured with Bracers of Disruption, plus a redirect, plus, you know, Ista being able to clear, like, you can't roll conditions around.
Yeah.
Like, around the turn, I could... and then my plan the whole time was to go wholly on Isabel and force her to level to then get to level 3 so I can remove, you know, conditions that way. So, so I'm just like, Styx can just GTFO, man. Just get him out of here in... He's quickly a model when I see in warbands I look at banning. Like, I put very heavy ban consideration on Styx.
Well, and I mean, that makes sense, especially for myself, because you've seen me with Styx since V1.
Yeah.
And he's a model that I've, like, taken to, like, you know, an otter to water. It's my natural habitat. I like him.
Yeah. Well, and he was everywhere in end of V1. I'm pretty sure every warband had Styx in it.
I think you're right.
In a tournament. But and he's essentially the exact same.
Yeah.
With the benefit in Krognar, he has one action point effigy recalls.
Yes.
Which you can still give him the ring in, you know, other in Tomas or anything else. But then it's taking out the items. Like Krognar, you just have it without having to do anything with them.
Yep. So you banned my Styx, which very reasonable ban. I can't argue against it, right? I mean, out of everything in the list, there's a couple bands that you could do that I could be like, okay, that makes sense too. Styx is definitely one that I can never be like,
so I mean, that's bad. Whenever I play against Krognar, I always look at Rakir.
Yep.
Cause like Shadow Orbs, you can place them without an item, you know, you can Evil Sphere to place Shadow Orbs somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I was debating Rakir, and then I also debated Marcus, cause if without Marcus, you have no... Like, you have no durability, right? Like, Nias can kind of sort of frontline. You can get her, you can make her edgy six when she levels, and she can be annoying to kill, but, like, okay, get rid of Fazeel, or get rid of Marcus. You remove a lot of the setup outside Styx moving shit around. Mm-hmm. And then, but you don't have, like, you had a very clutch wall play.
Yep.
In our game, which we'll get into.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't have that ability to it, and they could have changed stuff. So Marcus was heavily debated being it, but then I'm like, nope, Styx is gone.
Yep. So then we looked at your list, and I immediately looked at it, and I was like, okay, cool. You have Donnie, you have Thrommel, you have Brock, you have Isabel. You know, you have Barney, or Istariel and Barney, and Thorgar. And I'm like, okay, cool. I don't mind seeing a Thorgar across the table from me because I have a Maltique. I can just blow him up. I don't mind seeing Donnie or Thrommel because Maltique can still blow them up, and she can do so very well. Same thing with Brock, right? So really the only two targets I was like, is Isabel and Barney. But your Istariel, man? No, I have to ban her because, well, no. So, like, one of the things about, like, one of my biggest reasons that I ban Istariel a lot is because she is just a model, like I've said in multiple podcasts before. You can't pin her down. You go in, you try to pin her down, she just blazes away, right? Even if you have somebody that can knock her down like Marcus, cool, they spend a fate, she stands up for the fate, and now she still blazes away and she still blows his ass up twice. Or hits somebody else twice. You know, it's, she's just hard to deal with at times. And so I was very much like, no, let's get rid of her. I don't want to deal with somebody who can melt away a defense on, you know, my Marcus or just do lots of damage to the rest of my warband. And if I give you Barney and Istariel, I'm just asking to get flamethrowered into oblivion and then conflagged to death. And I was like, there's no way in hell. And I knew, like, in the back of my head, I knew that you would look at dropping probably Thorgar realistically because of the fact I had Maltique.
Yeah, the big... I mean, I think Istariel got banned in every game I played. I'm fairly confident Istariel got banned, and I'm pretty sure I dropped Thorgar in 3 of the 4 games, I think.
Makes sense.
Because I remember, one of them I remember had Thorgar instead of Thrommel.
I know you had Thorgar in your round 3.
Yeah, so I think basically again, part of the strategy with this warband is, okay, so, well, let's talk about your drop and then I'll go into my drop. So what did you end up dropping and why were you kind of thinking of that drop?
I ended up dropping Abathos, who realistically I could have used him to try and, you know, basically get, as we, you know, love to call it here, the applesauce bomb. To try to throw some curse around and things like that. But one, you have Isabel, who's immune to curse. Two, she does more damage to models with curse.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like you said, when you call the Ista EP, if I just got that turn off, you just blow it all out of the water anyway. So it doesn't really matter. And so for me, I immediately looked at it and went, as cool as Abathos is in this list, Maltique's going to give me more tank busting. She's really decent into at least, you know, 4 or 3 of your models.
Yeah.
And if they're both taking up the same slot, I'll take her in this case. It sucks that I don't have sticks to babysit her, but it just means I have to play more carefully with her, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where I ended up deciding to drop Abathos, so that way I still had Rakir, Nias, Maltique, Fazeal, and Marcus. And I was like fairly certain with that list that I was, if I could get to a certain point on the table with souls, I was fairly certain I could probably outlast you just because I had mobility. So then we obviously mentioned that you decided to drop Thorgar.
Yeah, so my thought process was, I believe I went first. So my thought process was, okay, you have the Rakir, Fazeal, like, you have Maltique. Everyone has Soul Harvest 3 or higher.
Yep.
So if I don't take the Thorgar, I also thought, like, Marcus can kind of protect some of your warband, but not super protect it. Like, not from a protective stance, like, thing. Obviously, the wall you did was very good. And the other thought with Thrommel versus Thorgar is I thought the knockdown on Thrommel would have a bit more value. So Thorgar's got to get the throw to get the knockdown. Because you could have, at this point, because I'm pretty sure I went first. So you could have had the Abathos. So you could have 2 Agi 5 models.
Sure.
So my thought was like, okay, I need some knockdown to deal with that a bit, because otherwise Brock ain't critting shit and he loses value. So I'm like, okay, I'll take the Thrommel. The Res 2 is pretty good. He's pretty tanky to eat, you know, Fazeal or Rakir. damage, and then like you have the redirect with Don. And then I figured at that point I'd get bracers on Brock.
Yep.
Because then, okay, I can stop a decap or stop an important poison or anything like that. And then I knew I wanted Isabel because Isabel is just really good now. I think with some of the changes, moving her to Soul Harvest 5, trying to think of some of the other changes she got. And then some of the changes with the EP.
Yeah.
She becomes Flying Nimble.
Yep.
So yeah, she's just good. And yeah, and then it was Barney because I wanted that knockdown. And then yeah, it really came down to like Thorgar or Thrommel. I just, I don't know, I felt like Thrommel would provide more value, more durability.
Mm-hmm.
And your Warband wasn't super, super durable. And that's where I thought the Thorgar just wasn't quite as needed.
Yeah, sure.
So I dropped him. And yeah, Thrommel, I don't remember Thrommel. I mean, he threatened your Maltique once or twice, but I don't think he really ended up doing a whole lot.
He threatened Maltique once or twice.
He threatened the Rakir pretty early, too. I remember that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I actually like did the most amount of stuff with him. He usually was just in a spot that, like, okay, there could be a Thrommel flying at my face.
Yeah. it was one of those things that it was kind of funny to watch him because he, like, the one time he really... You set him up on the left initially. You walk, like, mm-hmm. he charged the gloom and just obliterated the gloom.
Yeah, I put the gloom super low.
You crit him. You literally crit him, the gloom and
I actually debated hammer timing to kill it, but I needed my fate. So we'll get into that. So,
but yeah.
So yeah, that was the pick and ban.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I felt pretty good. So you ended up with Rakir, Nias, Maltique, Fazeel, Marcus.
Yep.
I ended up with Donergar, Thrommel, Brock, Isabel, and Barney.
Yep.
So not a huge amount of high damage on my side, but man, my warband is tanky.
It is.
That was kind of the thought.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I'll say your warband absolutely is 100% tanky. And I was really prepped for that. Like, I was looking at it going, okay, I'm going to have to use Maltique to put in some work here. Fazeel's going to have to, like, look for those charges.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, getting into the game, it was funny as shit. Like I said, watching you take that Thrommel, charge him into the gloom, fully expecting, you know, maybe a solid or whatever.
Yeah, I just needed to make it easy for the Isabel to kill.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's just like, thabam, here's the crit on 5 dice, and we're both just like, holy shit.
Yeah, I was like, all right. That was a piss. Well, and it's funny, too, because I feel like when you want to level the Thrommel off of Gloom, like, when you want the crit, you never get it.
Yeah,
and
you'll get
like,
a glance.
I just need him to put some damage in there. And then, yeah, does that shit. So.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, so we'll start getting into some of the highlights and a bit of how the game went.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of wrap it up with some just thoughts on the warbands and anything like that. So, yeah, first turn, my whole plan was to set up for a Canuke Mara kill, which basically Thrommel and Isabel handled the gloom. And then I set the Thrommel got pushes so he could, like, threaten your shrine, basically.
Yeah, you got one push, which was enough to make it to where you could charge the next turn.
Charge next turn to, if you had anything on your shrine, which I think you put your Rakir on.
Which I did.
And then what I did was I walked Donnie twice and stone-formed.
Well, I forced that.
You kind of did, yeah. Because the idea was I knew I wanted Canuke Mara. And how I was going to get Canuke Mara was I was going to get that Gloom kill. I would have the Fate. And then I basically was just going to buy Hunter's Knife on Brock and walk him twice. In position that... The Canuke Mara is going to come into me. A Brock with a Hunter's Knife can kill a Canuke Mara pretty easily.
Yep.
And then I'll kind of get that. And then I'll use my defenders to kind of, okay, weather a little bit of a storm. And then kind of, you know, do a little counter damage with whatever's there. And then, you know, after that turn, I've got a level 2 Brock. I had a level 2 Holy Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, the durability, let's go.
Yep.
That was the plan. And yeah, you ended up moving something kind of close, so Nias. I had to get my Donergar pretty. Yeah, you had Nias
So
pretty aggressively towards the Canuck Mara.
Yeah, so basically you did that kind of setup, right? And I did Marcus charging in to the Inferno, mm-hmm. thwack him, knocked him down, and then thwacked him again and pushed himself onto the Soul Pit.
Yep.
So I could set up for that. Fazeel charged in, killed it, and grabbed Boots of Elvenkind with Bracers, and then pushed himself and walked over to the shrine. So I was going to start depriving you of fate really early if I could get lucky.
Yeah, that was annoying. I will fully admit, because in the Boots of Elvenkind was so good because it gave you
the Pathfinder
to be able to charge over that wall.
Yep.
And then the extra move was a big deal too, because you could be on that far shrine, yep. and still kind of like easily charge my shrine or charge to the middle.
Yep. And so then I followed up with that with, I was like, oh, the Canuck's going into you. Okay. Let's force a movement here. And yep. I walked Nias, very, very close to him. Cause I was like,
gross.
What's worst case scenario, he's going to shoot me. He's going to do some things. Right.
Yeah.
And that'll suck. But at least then the Canuck, like, you're going to have to come into me. And then that you were like, oh, okay, well, fine. I'm going to move Donnie here. And
which is actually kind of interesting, because I was thinking about it a little bit more. It's like, if I would have let the Canuck just go over there,
mm-hmm.
like, that could have really messed up your Nias pretty good. Like, if she would have got knocked down or froze.
Sure.
Like, she's in trouble pretty quick.
Like, I'm not going to deny that at all. It was a risk, but out of all my models, she also is the one that made the most sense.
Yeah, with the Agi.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier, yeah.
And such. And so, you know, but then watching you replay with the Donnie to walk up and Stoneform, and I was like, okay, well, I know where the Canuck's going. Let's see where the soul pops, right?
Yeah, and one of the big things, too, is I think that position for the Canuck is I was within redirect range of my Barney, which was on my shrine,
mm-hmm.
and I was within redirect range of where I put my Brock to. So like, I was covering a bunch of the important pieces already, like with where the Don was. So I didn't hate where he ended up going, and I think he was in the forest.
He was
to give stealth. So like, you couldn't even get your Maltique to shoot into me, you know, to start. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna like, this doesn't feel like a bad spot. He's central in the table for the redirects,
mm-hmm.
Because even was Isabel might have been two as well. I think like
no, she was outside.
She must have been out, but I think she was far enough away that nothing like you would have to walk charge.
Yeah, there was nothing like that I was going to be able to do that. But then you know we finished out our turn ones and mm-hmm. did communion phase, right?
Yep.
The Canuck Mara obviously went into Donnie.
Yep.
You did not get lucky and get the two on the roll to get him to immediately engage. So he got to shoot Donnie.
Yeah, I think he did a huge amount of damage.
He did five, because I remember Donnie went down to he went down to like a quarter of his health right off the bat, and you were like, well, that sucks, but
putting him to 15 puts him into like a toxin range, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was kind of the thought. I'm like, okay, if I keep him healthy enough, like, toxins just always off the board.
Yep. And so then I do remember, because then the soul also spawned where the Canuck was.
Where the Canuck was, yep.
And so, like, I had positioned Nias properly to where she could
walk and harvest.
Walk and harvest. Or if the soul popped on my side, harvest immediately.
Yep.
And so, like, while you immediately had to deal with a Canuck, which was your plan,
mm-hmm.
I immediately was able to walk and harvest.
Yeah, I think my first action, I'm just like, I'm just going to get the Canuck out of the way so it's done. Because the way that the board was is I couldn't do a whole lot. I think I could send my Thrommel in.
Sent your Thrommel in to Rakir.
And then I don't think either of us called EP. Neither of us called EP this turn, which will be very, very relevant as the turn goes. So, but yeah, so basically you walk up and harvest with Nias.
Yep.
And then I'm like, oh, that's a Nias my Barney can charge.
Yep.
And I charge, I believe I get the knockdown.
No, you, did. Did you get the knockdown?
I think I did because I think that's how I ended up getting so much damage on her. Because I charged Barney, and because I got her pretty low.
I didn't remember you getting the knockdown, but either way.
Yeah, so I mean, charges in into the Nias, and then you charge something. No. I must knock down because I think Don charges into you and does stuff then too.
So you got to push is what it was. You pushed her.
So I charged her.
You pushed her, and then
which put her in charge range. I think of Don Donnie. Plus Isabel plus.
Yep, put her. It literally.
Charge her when I pushed her the one hex.
Yes, everybody could charge her when you pushed her the one hex, except for I think Thrommel. Well,
Brock already, so
yeah. Well, yep. Brock and Thrommel were the only two, but that's because Brock had already gone and Thrommel was just outside of range without the EP.
Well, so he was in range with the EP,
yes,
or no, because he was
within range going from the bottom.
But it was, he had to go through the rough terrain.
He ended up having to go through the rough because literally after you pushed her over,
yep.
I charged Marcus into Barney.
And then you put the wall down.
And then I dropped the wall and I was like, cool, nobody's going to charge this direction now.
Yeah, because I got her a bit low. And then you put the wall down. And I'm like, man, because I debated calling EP, but I wanted to hold my EP for like, all right, I poison and pestilence and all this other crap in Maltique, right? Maltique and stun and pin. So I'm like, well, I want to hold my EP for the, which in hindsight may or may not have been, if I would have called it, Nias was dead because Thrommel can charge her and kill her. And it would have probably been good. I'm trying to remember. I think I called it the following turn, and I think I might have cleared. Yeah, because Maltique, I think it's a bunch of shit, and it clears. Yeah, it cleared stuff off Barney. And
like, if you'd have called it, it's one of those things that I think if you'd have called it, Nias definitely would have been dead.
Yeah.
But I also think that realistically, Barney probably would have been dead too.
Probably, which I think is still a good trade because at that point Nias had a soul on her,
sure,
and Barney had nothing.
Sure,
so.
But I mean, with the soul also spawning in the middle, it meant the soul was going to spawn next to me next anyway as well.
But so, then you also don't have Soul Gazer to
yeah. But I don't know what you're talking about. I have the best Soul Gazer in the game. His name's Marcus.
So yeah. Then you counter and charge Barney with Fazil and Ricky. You end up getting my Barney really low,
mm-hmm.
And I think he was knocked down. I think he got the shield knocked down.
Yes, the shield got knocked. The shield knockdown was there. I got a bunch of hits in on him, and I put him low enough that legitimately
next to the monster.
Well, I pushed him onto the monster pit,
mm-hmm.
And you ended up moving your Isabel, who is at this point level two. Yeah, you walked her.
A triple walk.
You did a triple walk to put her within two of Barney.
Yep.
And so I killed Barney with Maltique.
Yep.
Divine Intervention activated.
Yep.
Put you to one again.
Correct.
Then we basically turn goes, communion happens. We both had a Vujasha spawn.
Yep, this was the Vujasha turn.
We both had a Vujasha spawn. The Vujasha immediately hits Barney. Killing
Divine Intervention.
Killing Barney, triggering Divine Intervention again. Barney's sitting at one. Mm-hmm. Now you call your EP. He's now at three because you get two health off that.
Yep. From the EP, one because Isabel was within two axes.
And you got to clear the knockdown. Yep.
Yep.
And I remember you... Like, you were looking at it, and you're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you started going over everything, and you just went, no, I have to get Barney out of here.
Yeah, I can't just give you the Barney. Like, because I don't think there was much I could get. Like, okay, I don't, like, what can I do? Like, you're clearly going to kill the Barney.
Yeah.
He was at three hit points. But, like, your whole warband was over on that side.
Yeah, because I had also called my EP.
I think that. Yeah, because I called my EP, you called your EP.
Yep,
and you basically dragged everything to that side, yeah.
Yep, I repositioned completely away from your warband, but adjacent to, like, I was still adjacent to Barney with a couple of people.
Yep.
And so, like, I remember you stood him up. He's at 3 health.
Mm-hmm.
And did you fate heal him?
No, so because you had the Fazeal on that shrine, I don't think I had a lot of fate this turn. I'm trying to remember. Because
I remember you healed him up enough to where both the Vujasha and Marcus taking parting blows couldn't kill him.
No, he was nimble. He
oh, right, he, right, yeah.
So no, basically the EP makes you nimble, which That's means right. you can't be targeted by parting blows.
That's right.
So
That's
I basically why. Just said, peace out. My tank is rolling the fuck out of here.
That's right.
And then I think I debated fate healing, but I just ended up self-repairing him when he was at the effigy. Because I was like, you could do like a weird walk charge with Fazeal.
That's right. You did self-repair him to 6. That's
but
right.
I did self-repair him up to 6. So I'm like, you would have to get the decap, and then your Fazeal is like, he just dies. Because he would have been within charge range of...
Brock.
Within Brock. Within charge range, I think, of the Don.
He would have been outside of charge range of Don.
But yeah, I mean...
Because your Don was in the forest in the middle of the board.
I think I did some damage to him or something. I don't remember. Because yeah, I think he was down a little bit. But I was like, if you do that, I'm pretty sure I just kill him. Because, you know, I'd first...
It was your next activation that you did damage to him.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so basically, basically we both, like, I repositioned, you got Barney out of there. Cause then I went with Nias and I harvested the soul and I used
Vujasha's move. Vujasha's inactive.
Yeah. The Vujasha's cause no, I waited to harvest the soul till Thrommel was over there. Cause Thrommel then charged. Because I'm trying to remember what I did as my first action.
Maybe you brought the Fazeal over. I don't think we got a super.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it was basically you brought. I didn't move the Fazeal. That's what it was, because you charged him with Thrommel. And then I was able to get out of there, and then I got you pushed up into the Vujasha. Which is what allowed me with the Nias to soul harvest and force her to like hit you a couple times.
Oh yeah, because the Thrawn went up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't remember exactly what the first activation was that I did, but it was.
Yeah. It's...
It was. Maybe it was a Marcus with a wall again.
It might have been. Yeah. So it just. So it ended up being where we trade a little bit of damage. I save the Barney. You get another soul harvest. So you're sitting on 2.
Yep.
2 souls. I've got none, and then just. Everything is so far back in that corner, I can't get much into it.
Yep.
And like, and then so I was pretty concerned at this point because I was like, I'm in a bit of trouble. Like, and my Thrommel was getting punched like crazy, I think, at this point,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
But then, so that turn ended up being, and then we both kind of killed their Vajashas.
Yeah, like it turned into a turn of we traded a little bit of damage, and then we both just looked at each other and went, we need to deal with these.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just constantly punching your shit. So we got rid of the Vajashas. I think I killed mine with Isabel. I think that's how I got to level 3 on her. Or did I kill with Bra? I don't remember. Anyways, but we cleared the Vajashas, and then the following round, like, because now the souls are starting to spawn down my side. I think I pick up 2 from Soul Harvest.
You picked up 2. Or no, you picked up 1 and then missed the 1.
And then I missed the 1. I was like, fuck, the tempo was gonna kill me.
Yep.
And then like the following turn I get my Thrommel out because he's low and really messed up.
Yep.
I remember doing that because he had enough health that he could take the parting blow or 2 he was gonna take.
Yep.
And not die. And I think it put him to like 1 or 2.
Put him to 2.
Yep. So I remember getting him low, and then I walked him. I think I fate healed him or something. And then I kind of like bunkered on my side. You kind of bunkered on yours.
Yep. And I ended up getting a third soul.
Yep, you ended up getting a third soul. And then, essentially, I kind of, like, jockeyed for a effigy kill. Because, like, the way the souls were going...
Okay, let's be real. It's not that you jockeyed. I just missed it because I don't like effigy kills, so I don't look for them all the time.
Yeah,
because if I'd have been looking for it, you and I both saw I had a very easy way to stop it. And... I just totally fucking missed it.
I did just kind of like, I think I like, I double walked and ate your shadow orb.
Yeah, so. But I mean, it was literally that I missed it earlier, but I also missed another play that I could have done, which would have made it realistically much harder. Because I had the ability to, I could have charged Donnie with basically most of my models.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, I could have had Rakir kill him. And Donnie had a soul on him at that point, which would have put you back down to 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have put me back to 12. And your Brock, I remember, did not crit the effigy on his charge attack.
No, he did it on the follow-up to get the kill. Yeah, because, like, at that, like, the game was going where the souls were spawning on your side. So I'm like, well, I've got to do something. So, yeah, basically, like, you were kind of down by my Don that was kind of low. And you had, like, a Maltique in the Fazil. Mm-hmm. Pretty close to my effigy, where I think she could walk once and shoot twice, and she could walk once in charge range.
Yep.
And then basically at that point, I'm like, well, I've got first activation, and I got to do 2 souls worth of damage. So, so I walked the Brock up by your shrine, and you had a shadow orb over there.
Yep.
So I didn't want you to shadow step and punch me 3 times. So I wanted you to have to effigy recall and then charge.
Yep.
Because I had bracers. So again, I could stop any push. I could stop fate. I probably could have just popped the bracers, but I'm trying to remember what I had for fate at the point. But that might have just been the best option anyways. I don't remember if you had more than 1 activation to go. But
no, I just could have went with something else. I just had the
Yeah, so I guess I could have popped the bracers and just made it so you couldn't target me anyways.
Yep.
And then, yeah, first activation then is I send a Brock in. I couldn't savagery like I wanted to because I had to get rid of the orb.
Yep.
But in hindsight, I could have just went twice and then bracered. Because I had the fate for using the combat maneuvers of the bracers. Right. So I should have just remembered to use that.
Yep.
Because I always forget about that with bracers of disruption.
That's something you gotta remember, right?
But... Yeah, and then Brock doesn't crit on the charge, mm-hmm. but then crit on the basic and I only attack. Rolled 4 dice and it should have been 5, so I also screwed that. I forgot Vorpal. That's in my dice map. It should have been 5 because Vorpal the
I thought you did roll 5.
I thought I rolled 4.
I thought you rolled 5.
Either way, ended up getting the crit. So I did like a couple damage on the charge attack, get the crit on the follow up, get it with the backswing, finish it out.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a wild game. Like no one, like you were able to use your EP to defend, and then the wall was clutch.
Yep.
And then I was able to get the Barney out with my EP.
Yep.
And then Thrommel, I think, just like, I'm just going to eat the parting blows. Because I think he was...
Thrommel got beat up on. That's what it was.
He got very beat up on.
He just got very beat up on.
And I was like, as long as you don't get a triple J, I'm okay. And
yep.
Didn't get a triple J. So. Yep.
Which almost happened
to me tonight. I took a parting blow. I was charging for an effigy kill with Fazil. And he had 3 dice because I bought Boots of Agility and then I embered for agility. So like, I'm gonna make my Fazil really difficult to kill, and then I charge effigy, but I take a free strike from Styx, and he rolled JJ blank, and I'm like, oh god.
Well, I mean that Rakir, when you took the parting blow from him, for freaking Brock's charge,
yeah,
he rolled a JJ and a 5 or a 4.
So yeah, I mean, so it was like
he was like right there, and he's just like, nah, I'm gonna let you have it.
Yeah, but, so it was one of those where it. Yeah, I had to take the parting blow and end up game, but it was just a good game. Like nothing really died, which is
like that's the thing, right? Is I'm frustrated with myself personally because I didn't pay enough attention to the effigy charge, but at the same time, like I'm not disappointed in my gameplay at all because of the fact that was a solid 2.5 hour game that you and I played, or two and a half hour game. And we both, I mean, by the time we were both done with it, I know we were both like, holy hell. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a game that our brains just had to work. And
yeah, it was definitely, because it felt like any little misstep, especially when it, like, you got up 2 souls to 0.
Yep.
I'm like, man, I gotta dig out of this, and it's Krognar, so it's hard to kind of stick on them.
Yep.
And like, and without the range presence of like Astariel, I couldn't really do that much.
Yep.
As much as I wanted.
Well, and I've like not trying to toot my own horn here or whatever, but you multiple times in that game said to me that you've tried in the past to get Maltique to work for you. You've tried to use her to do that. And there were multiple times in that game that you were like, dude, your Maltique play was fantastic.
Yeah, she torched me a bit. Well, it also helps when you're like rolling and the conditions and stuff quite a bit. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I also like made sure to get her Ring of Power first turn, and like I set her up. But the fact that I actually like positioned, like I remember there was the turn setting up for my EP, right? Like I used her to shoot you three times, and I used the pushes specifically to push myself into position where I had Marcus and Fazeal that I could pull out if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas she was like four hexes away from them initially. So I was like, okay, this is really cool. She positioned herself and then repositioned with everybody else except for Fazeal. So like, it was just one of those things that I was like, she really worked. And like, the more I play with her, I gotta say, the more I love her every time I actually get a chance to field her. And now I'm definitely getting more comfortable with fielding her without having, like, sticks there to pull her out of a situation. So, for me, that's, like, super fantastic, right? And, like, dude, I gotta say, just the plays you made with using the Ista EP, even though you were like, damn, I should have called it here.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight there, because the Thrommel would have killed the Nias, and a level 2 Thrommel's... is fun.
A level 2 Thrommel is bad. I'll straight up admit that.
And he also would have been like center of the table, like, all right, I am ready to charge anything I want.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Is having,
well, it's hard to know like, yeah,
I'm how a turn is gonna push, develop.
But like, if I didn't get the push, nothing can charge her, and then it's not nearly as good. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, that's the thing, right? But like, just your play with Ista was spot on, man. Like, that was fantastic. And I know I talked in, like, one of our previous episodes, or maybe it was the most recent one prior to this, where, like, I got the Fazeal, you know, 14 damage decap because of Hunter's Knife against Jeff. Yeah,
that's always enjoyable.
Right, that was super enjoyable. But, like, this was seriously a game that even though I walked away with a loss...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel disappointed in the game other than me missing the one effigy charge, right?
Yep.
So, like, I can walk away from this game and go, that was a fantastic game. I'm not disappointed at this at all. Wonky and I both brought our A games, and we got to play, and it was fantastic. It wasn't like...
we forgot to record it.
Right, and of course we forgot to record it. Well, there's our one downfall, right? There's where we got an F while we both got an A in our gameplay.
That was our fail.
But I mean, it wasn't like when we played at Adepticon last year where you, I know, just felt like you were getting racked across the table. Oh, dude, spikes.
That game hurt.
Yeah.
That game hurt.
Dude, watching you struggle.
I think it took four heroes to kill the Gloom or whatever is how it started.
It was three heroes. But it was still, it was just one of those watching three heroes fail to kill the Gloom, right? Watching, was that your Thorgar? I surfed across the table.
There was some, that's back when you could surf.
That was prior to the dual wield change.
Yeah. You surfed him, and he wasn't even, I don't even think he was enraged either.
Yeah.
And he ended like six hexes away from where he started or just something stupid. It was like, wild.
It was one of those things, like just watching everything go and unfold in such a just bad manner, because then it was like Zarin was able to just sit back and harvest with a skeleton and do this other, you know, it was just one of those games that you watched everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And this was like, we both had such a puzzle pieced warband that it wasn't everything that could go wrong did. It was, we both played the top notch A games that we could bring to the table. So like that was what was exciting for me, right?
Yeah, it was just a great game.
Yeah.
One of the best games I've played in a while,
I can't thank my co-host enough for giving that to me, because I like I said, I've had good games in the past, but that is seriously one of the best games I've ever gotten to play. And I can't thank you enough for being able to do that, because that's how I'm going to push myself to be better. So, well, Wonky, do you have any thoughts about your warband now that we are done with, you know, that's Judgment Folks Part 22. Any thoughts on, like, developments of who you might bring in, who you might drop, people who didn't work so well?
I felt pretty good about this one. I think the only thing is maybe trying to fit a Soulgazer in somehow, but I don't know who I really dropped, because I don't know, the Barney felt, like, in multiple games, Barney felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the obvious, like, model to do. I could, I suppose, also look at dropping the Thrommel. I think when you look at the warband, you're probably looking at, you know, Isabel Estariel bands most of the time.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Dhonargar is going to be heavily banned necessarily in that, but it could be. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I feel terrible with, like, an Isabel, Barney, Svetlana kind of front line with, like, Estariel, Brock hanging around. So I would maybe look at Saiyan. I mean, I could look at Cruel. I think there's a few options, or, like, even Zarin.
Yeah.
But I think Svetlana brings some like, tankiness to it as well, so I'd feel probably a bit better with her over other Soulgazers. But I do feel... I feel pretty good maybe dropping the Thrommel for it.
Sure.
That's probably it. I feel like I've played some pretty similar versions of this in Ista before, with kind of changing out, like, the Thorgar slot. I used to run a version of this that was Marcus instead of... where it was Thrommel and Marcus instead mm-hmm. of Dhonargar. And then I brought in, like, Kogan to just have all the knockdown.
Sure.
But yeah, I think the big thing is probably swapping Thrommel or Barney for a Soulgazer. I feel like that's probably the only swap. Otherwise, I feel pretty good on this one. I mean, maybe the Thorgar could be something different, but he just the Thorgar slash is supposed to be some, like, melee redundancy for Brock.
Sure.
And I wanted something that takes healing well, was kind of the other thought, was like, okay, we're going to have a lot of defense for something, and we're just going to make that thing not die.
Yeah, sure. No, that, that actually makes sense to me. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, my only thoughts, honestly, would be, I honestly think you throw Cruel in the list, personally.
Cruel probably makes sense. I think Cruel is good with the Barney. I think with Isabel getting her an extra action on charge, Brock. Cruel probably would be the play, and he's also kind of tanky.
Look,
Thrommel for Cruel is probably pretty good.
The honest reason I say Cruel as a whole is I don't know how many times during that game you were like, God, I wish Isabel had an extra action. And I'm just like, even if it's just the extra charge attack, right, to be able to reposition her.
Well, yeah, and the big thing too is your shit was so far away once you did your repeat turn that, like, if I could have like walk, charged, follow up attack, would have been pretty helpful, I think. So I think actually Cruel would be a pretty good one in.
I do like the Svetlana though, just as a thought process, because the fact she can handle monsters by being like, ah, go over there.
Yeah, and like this warband's not terrible with monsters either. Like Isabel can always go retribution side, and you know Brock's good at it, and Thorgar's not pretty good for monsters. So like, I don't think I need it for that. It was more like the durability. If I only had single tank, they banned out the Dhonargar. Like Svetlana's pretty durable.
Yeah.
So it would be thing, and I could maybe swap Lori Bella in over Barney, but if I do that, I probably swapped it. Allendeer, I think, instead of Estariel might be a thought, because it's less about comboing with fire and it's more about the range.
Yep.
So Allendeer just could possibly get in there, as much as I like Estariel for the armor shred.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me.
So with your warband, what do you think, any changes or any kind of final thoughts in your warband after playing it for the league?
Yeah, so, I mean, after playing it for the league, I've still come to the conclusion that Rakir has a place, but maybe not always in my warbands. Like, I'll be honest, during this entire league, I didn't really get a chance to rack a big toxin somewhere.
Yeah.
That's just the way the games worked this time. but he's still a good piece. Like, I still used him for some Shadow Orb play. I was still able to do that stuff with him, so I still like him for this warband as a whole. The one I'm actually thinking about trading out in this list at the moment is possibly looking at dropping Abathos.
Yeah, I mean, the Abathos bomb, as we've called it before,
yeah,
is, you know, pretty strong.
Yeah. Like, and so that's part of what I was kind of thinking about with possibly getting some of my some of my tankiness out, was being able to, you know, hit the curse, then hit the pestilence to make you minus one to stats, all that stuff, right? But it's either, like, Maltique just chunks tanks, because most of the tanks are Soul Harvest 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And she has the ability to just spend a fate and just be like, cool, it's true damage, you're taking this, buddy.
Yeah.
Whereas Abathos doesn't. Abathos does have some other play ability to him, but I'm actually thinking about maybe replacing him. Because if you noticed, my list does not have one of the two, like, main aggressors for Krognar. Doesn't have Kogan or Yorgath.
Yeah, and I think that can be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because either of those really still, like, I guess Kogan doesn't want level 2 as much, but he still wants a Heartseeker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Yorgath, I've seen him do some crazy stuff.
But I've also, like, seen him flap on his face.
He needs the investment. Like, his level 1, he could use some nice, like, setup kind of stuff, or, like, almost, like, support, right? You can have the knockdown. You can use the extra reach to get some pushes to set that up, but, like, just flat damage output at level 1 is just not good.
Yeah.
So, like, you've really got to put some effort into them.
Well, and so what I'm... one of the things I'm actually thinking about is trading Abathos out for Kogan himself.
Okay.
So I lose a little bit of that, like, you know, curse setup that I can possibly do, things like that. And it's one of those that I like Nias, but at the same time, I was thinking legitimately about looking at Krul.
Yeah, I mean, Krul, like, Bloodlusted Rakir is very interesting.
Yep.
Like, it just makes angles and stuff you can do kind of weird. Nias is pretty good because it does give you that, like, the poison cloud's really strong.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Krul could easily fit in that Nias slot and feel... you could feel pretty good about it. Yeah, I honestly would not hate that.
Yeah. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like, Abathos was bad. It's something I kind of want to play with now. Now that the league is over and
You were doing him in Tauren before, right? You had him in Tauren.
Yeah, I had him in Tauren. Zealand
in the Tauren.
Yep. And so, you know, I wanted to try it here, especially after that dojo challenge. I thought, why the hell not? Let's see how this does and see how it plays. But now with the idea of possibly bringing back one of those aggressors, I'm thinking bring Kogan in because it gives me the ability to bring Maltique or him wherever I kind of feel. And then it doubles up on some of the knockdown for Marcus. And then obviously, you know, Krul gives some of my Rakir / Vizeal, play a little bit more of a beef as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I definitely don't hate it.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'll even throw this on the table as, you know, my Adepticon list. Hell.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up. We got, what, 2 months? Yeah,
two months. Yep. So, bless. Well, we've talked a ton about, you know, the That's Judgment, folks, part 22. Congratulations again to my co-host here, Wonky, on winning it. That is a phenomenal feat to do.
Especially thanks, bud. Yeah, that was a big one. It was 22 people this time, so there's exactly. Definitely a lot more people than there's been in the past. So it's good to see the online leagues picking up a bit.
Yep. And so, any final thoughts tonight on, you know, Victor, on, you know, maybe your next league thing or?
Yeah, I mean, I might have to not do the next league. We'll have to see.
Work and family but... and.
Yeah, because I go back to work Monday, so that kind of will eat into time and stuff like that. And I'm trying to get back to playing in person.
Makes sense.
So that kind of eats some of my ability to. I'll probably try and pick up some, like, random, like, one-off games and stuff, but it's probably going to be a bit harder to do leagues for a little bit. So.
Sure. Makes sense. It's an adjustment. So, Well, guys, I know I don't have anything else. It sounds like, Wonky, you don't have anything else. As always, if there are future topics you would like us to cover, please DM us, hit us in the podcast and streams, you know, by tagging us. You know, we're out here. We're trying to just give you guys some new content to listen to. But please, you know, jump in, ask questions, and as always, play those games. And Wonky, let's portal on out.